Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were the generation to experience the return of Jesus? I can't imagine what it would be like, but it would be wonderful. And the one thing that I would love in that thing is to just get totally away from myself. That would be the greatest thing. It's been a beautiful 4th of July. The weather was spectacular. It really, really was. We were blessed with really nice weather. And like Clinton said last week, I'm very grateful that I'm an American. I'm grateful that I was born in this country. I'm grateful for the abundance that I have in my life, and I'm grateful for an abundance that we have as people. But you know that a lot lately we've been talking about how we're slipping and sliding down the road to perdition, debauchery, and the whole 9 years, and getting away from the Lord. There's not a doubt in my mind that we're not a country that was founded, built on the Word of God, on scriptural principles, on the Bible specifically. And as a nation, we know that we got away from that. But at the same time, I also praise God. Thank you so much for your song, Kevin. I truly did get chills. You guys that know me know the emotional wreck that I am. And the truth continues to march on. And so we know the scripture tells us, replete with numerous scriptures, but one of my favorite ones is out of Philippians. Our citizenship is in heaven, from where we eagerly wait for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So though I'm proud to be an American in what that entails, just in a specific, superficial way, but I know that my citizenship is in heaven and I'm in Christ. And so we as the church have that specific duty to continue on with the truth, stay steadfast with that truth, and continue to move on. There's five words that I want to talk about. And really, I'm going to talk about the abuse of abundance. And really, I think that that's what really, really happened with this country. The same thing that happened with Israel. Clinton's been talking lately about examples. He's been in Hebrews a lot. He pulls out examples of faith, great heroes of faith or whatever. I'll get to that in a moment. Just five words I want you to remember, and I'll probably never mention these throughout the course of this message. Faith, grace, growth, repentance, forgiveness. When I see Israel, first of all, let me make sure that we understand this. I believe that the Lord has a specific agenda for Israel and a specific agenda for the church. There's some people out there trying to preach and teach this kingdom theology to where the church replaces national Israel or whatever. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. And we're actually seeing that agenda being played out today, and we know all this. We don't want to get sidetracked. 1948. Israel becomes a nation, so on and so forth, whatever. I don't want to get into that right now. But as an example, I see Israel as a microcosm of what any nation should be, both nationally and as individuals in that nation. And I want to go through a few verses here. And interestingly enough, out of all the examples that we see in Scripture, most of those people who have written the Word, though they're men and though they sin, and one of the most important Scriptures to me and that caveat in Scripture is 1 John 3:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But most of these men were mighty men of God. They never really forsook the Lord outside of just their sin. But one guy in particular who's an enigma, who's a mystery, is Solomon. The wisest man that ever lived. He accomplished more than any man in Scripture. And Solomon, because of the deceitfulness of his own heart, And if you pay attention to the scriptures, and through my study, through the abuse of his wisdom, of all of his riches, of all of his wives, he became almost apostate. And it's interesting, scripture doesn't really say that Solomon repented. I believe the scripture shows us enough that Solomon did repent. Jesus mentioned Solomon at least two times in the New Testament. He mentions about Solomon, there's a wiser man than Solomon here. He speaks about Jesus and he speaks about the glory of Solomon and the lilies of the field and that. And Solomon, for the three books he wrote, Proverbs, supposedly from my study in his early years, youth, and Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, from what I'm reading and from what I'm understanding, is truly his song of repentance. And when you really read it, and Ecclesiastes can get hard to read, you almost sometimes need commentary to get through some of the verses. But he speaks so much about the do's and the don'ts. And he goes through all the wisdom that the Lord had given him. And he goes through all the wisdom that he acquired on his own. He was quite an expert on a number of different topics. The trees, the animals, justice, so many different things. But a lot of this wisdom he also sought out in his own strength. And he speaks a lot about that in Ecclesiastes. But first, let me go through some of these scriptures. 1 Kings 2:3. This is for you dads and you sons out there. David to Solomon. I'll start in 1. Then the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong and therefore and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, that is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Fathers, good advice to give your sons. Sons, understand that your fathers are not perfect, and they need to rely many times, and they will, on that 1 John 3:9 verse. We need to remember that. But there's a command from David, who really had a heart after the Lord, to his son Solomon to continue with the Lord. I'm going to go, now you don't need to follow me all the way through. I'm going to go to Kings 3:14. This is the Lord speaking to Solomon. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And Clinton spoke about this last week. He touched on this. And a lot of times some people are afraid to get up and actually mention it, but nothing could be further or nothing could be more truthful than this. God's love is unconditional in that he wishes that no one should perish, but that all come to repentance. The Lord wishes the relationship with every single human being that lives. But at the same time, relationship with the Lord does come with conditions. It truly does. And as we see, we're going to go through some of these scriptures. I'm going to go to just chapter 6 now. I have to go by notes. I don't get up here too often. Chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Concerning the temple which you are building, if you walk in my statutes, execute my judgment, keep all my commandments and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David. Again, the Lord speaking to Solomon. Again, there's that condition put down. I'm here with you, but obey me. Same thing that Jesus says in the Gospels. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm going to go to chapter 9. I'm going to go to verse 3. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have sanctified this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually.
Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever. As I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. Again, the Lord promising Solomon his blessings when he continues to obey him. And so we see in Scripture, I'm going to go through another one here, that blessing comes with obedience. And please, don't misconstrue what I'm saying here. I'm saying in the Lord. I'm not saying, oh, if I'm good for a whole week, if I'm good for a whole month, if I don't sin, oh, the Lord will give me that brand new night in the 2015 Ford truck that I want. That's not what we're speaking here. We're speaking about spiritual things, but we're also speaking about material things. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 30. However, disobedience brings judgment. And for the church, one of our favorite scriptures when we go into Hebrew is, and Denny spoke about it this morning when he had all the things that he had up there, the Lord chastises us from time to time. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. All these scriptures are the same. There's so many to read, but I'm just going to go for this. Verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today, it is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us? Bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And then I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses to you today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Now again, and there's books out there, and I don't mean to step on anybody's toes who like to read these types of books or whatever, but there's books out there that try to tie in the USA with these different prophetic statements, so on and so forth. And you know what? I'm going to leave that totally alone. But one thing is specific here. There's a biblical principle that's pointed out through the scriptures to national Israel, but to any nation. And so in America, I think that's where, and we're going to keep on hearing this, we're probably going to hear this even more and more as the days progress. Not only are we not keeping the Lord's commandments, so many people are utterly forsaking the Lord. And now, in light of all that, we as the church, what are we to do? Are we to act differently? No. Are we to go out and scream and yell and on and on and on? Again, I don't mean to turn you to stomp on anyone's feet. If you are called to protest, whatever, so ever, hey, don't disobey the Lord. Do what the Lord calls you to do. But the one thing we're to do as Christians, and I'm so convicted by this, and there's times that I'm so nervous to get up here because I know the failures of my own life, and that's why we're going to get to that repentance thing and that forgiveness thing, is that we just get so carried away with the things that are not of God. And so whether the times are good, whether the times are evil, We, because we're children of God, because we know the Word, because we walk with Jesus, though from time to time, let's get real here. We know how many of us today might go out there and sin today. We know that. Let's not lie to one another. But we need to hold on to the Word of God. We need to hold on to the Holy Spirit. Whether times are good or whether times are bad, we don't change our behavior. And so we don't need to be caught up into, oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. What do we do now? Oh, I better get my act right with God. Clint spoke about this last week too. Our act with God should be right on a daily basis. And what's interesting, Israel. And let's understand this too. I know I'm getting to so many thoughts when you're up here, congeal. But Israel, before there was ever any revival in Israel, there was always judgment. Judgment always precedes revival. Always. And if we want to see true revival in this country, we're going to see judgment first. Because just that's how our human hearts are. The deceitful beyond all means. And that's what the Word says. But in its most prosperous times, under Solomon, we're going to see, just and under Moses, when they were finally delivered out of the wilderness, sin abounded, because that's just where man's heart is outside of the Lord. And amazingly enough, I thought about this reading during the millennium. Jesus Christ himself will walk the earth, will rule the earth, and after the 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed, and man's deceitful heart will still disobey the Lord and go with Satan. We can't say, oh, Satan was loosed, we can blame it on Satan. No, we blame it on our own deceitful hearts. Is that not amazing? You're talking about a time that I can't even, in my wildest expectations, imagine during the millennium. When the lion will lie down with the lamb. And everything is so peaceful and perfect and pristine. And Jesus will be here. And there will still be those that will turn their back. I'm going to bring this up now. This is how this all came about. How does it work? And I don't want to mention any names. There's an attorney who fell, and he's working with me right now. I never heard this word before. If any of you have, let me know. Affluenza. Jeff, did you hear of that before? And he's telling me about this case where this young fellow, during a drunken drive, are you familiar with this? During this drunken driving case, his defense attorney presents this defense that it was because of his affluenza. Now, these are ultra wealthy people. And the basic thought is, this kid was so affluent, he was blessed with so many riches and so many privileges, he couldn't relate to his crime. He couldn't understand that he had done something wrong, because his parents never taught him right and wrong. He didn't serve any time. He got, I think, 10 years probation. I have notes here. I don't want to go through all that. It's 11:45 and I have a lot to say. I'm going to read this. And then I started, I had Karen order me a book on affluenza. Now she got to order me two or three because I'm one of them crazy guys. And I'm gonna read up this because it makes sense to me. And then that made me think of Israel and its abundance and made me think about Solomon. It's really funny how one word triggers, you know that, dear, all of you, you know that, Bob. One word triggers a thought and then a sentence comes. Before you know it, you're off and running in 25 different tangents. But somehow they all tie together to make up a story. Affluenza, a portmanteau of affluence and influenza, is a term used by critics of consumerism. The book Affluenza, the All-Consuming Epidemic, defines it as a painful, contagious, socially transmitted condition of overload, debt, anxiety, and waste resulting from the dogged pursuit of more. Guess what? I had to ask myself, do I have this too? And you know what? This is the truth. I can't get out of the house without spending money somehow. Things in and of themselves as an end in themselves obviously are bad. That's the wrong way to go. And here I took this and thought, this isn't just money. This is desires of all kind. This is the pursuit of wisdom, the pursuit of the best technology, the pursuit of anything when it becomes an end in itself and not a blessing from the Lord is nothing but folly. And Solomon basically tells us that too. And through his own wisdom, I thought this thought. Now you think about this. When the knowledge of the facts become more important than the application of the knowledge, then knowledge is nothing more than ignorance. And now when we think about Ecclesiastes, and if you read all of Ecclesiastes, you'll see that he uses vanity, vanity, vanity. All is vanity. And so I was thinking about this country. And again, man's heart is always deceitful. When the enemy, the devil, we know the scripture tells us, disguises himself as an angel of light. And so many of these things come in such disguises and packaged up in such beautiful ways that we think they're all great and wonderful things. And they start out with great intentions but end up getting so many people sidetracked. I think of the Industrial Revolution. If anybody saw a great series, if you get an opportunity, watch it. Great series, The Men Who Built America. But I thought about all the wrong conditions that set up for this country. And you've heard me talk about, because I went through it, and I know Bob, he's a little bit older than me, definitely went through it, in the 50s and the 60s. And how so much of that set up a gateway, a flood of deception from the enemy. I mean, the malls. In the 60s, the malls finally hit America, and we were replete with malls all over the place just to completely inundate us with consumerism. How many of us fall prey to that? I want to give you this scripture, though, because I don't want you to think you're not to have nice things, because if anybody likes nice things, it's definitely me. I'm in Ecclesiastes. The point is to know the source of your blessings. I'm going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. See, Solomon, if you really read it all through, he writes this later in life. And still the Lord uses him and uses so much advice, good advice and bad advice. But a lot of the things that Ecclesiastes, that he speaks about, he calls himself the preacher, which is a messenger. These are things he tried and didn't work out. These are things that he personally experienced in an existential way, and he found out it was all vanity. But he doesn't put down work or what it does. Chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun, all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. There's no shame in enjoying the fruits of our labor. That's not what we're speaking about here. We're speaking about when the fruits of our labor become an end in themselves. And so we as the church need to make sure that we don't fall into this trap, and definitely need to make sure that we don't walk in the ways of the world. And when we get an occasion, witness out there, pray for people, and always hold one another up. Another interesting thing, when you look at the laws of this country, and that's what's going on today too, power is wielded in a handful of a few people. Let me look at the clock here. Oh my, I have a lot of time. And yet at the same time, they try to uphold the consensus of so many people. Do you ever notice, pay attention to some of the laws that get passed. When behavior, according to Scripture, if you see it, when behavior becomes more decadent, when behavior becomes more immoral, the laws change to make the behavior seem more normal. What an amazingly ingenious disguise that the enemy is able to use there. When homosexuality was at one time, even in this country, not, I don't mean this for those that are struggling in such a way, that acknowledge it as a sinful lifestyle. At one time was considered an abomination. The laws have changed to raise its status up. It's normal. It's normal to be drunk all the time. It's normal to smoke dope all the time. It's normal to have extramarital affairs all the time. And all we're to do amongst the midst of this is to pray, hold on to our steadfastness, and live out a life that a Christian's meant to live. I can go on and on and on about this. But matter of fact, let's go here. I'm going to go to chapter 11 in 1 Kings. First of all, I do want to say this. I'm going to go to chapter 3 first. I'll read it. Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Made a mistake there. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon, even though he made this mistake here, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. There again is the Lord's forgiveness. And again, Solomon loved the Lord at first. Solomon started out on the right foot. Now I'm going to go to chapter 11. Solomon, 900 concubines. or 700 wives, I'm sorry, 700 wives. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. Okay, now, a lot of times people think that this just necessarily means an adulterous type of thing. A lot of Solomon's wives, as a matter of fact, in my study, most of his wives, outside of Naamah, who was his true love, his youthful love that he speaks about in Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon, were political arrangements to help bring him wealth and good relations with other countries and stuff like that. But all his wealth and all these women who turned him on to all these idolatrous ways, Solomon started worshiping other gods, became apostate, and totally walked away from the Lord. Verse 9, so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes what I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Now here is where, though Israel had all its trials and tribulations in the past, especially under Moses, here is where Israel, it's at the height of its glory. But now under Solomon, think about leaders in this country and also think about citizens. Truly gets torn. Now the kingdom under Solomon becomes a divided kingdom. And Israel, the diaspora happens, Israel scattered. I mean, eventually Israel comes under the Babylonian exile and all that, and Israel just totally trashed. Boom. That's how great the sin became. There's the judgment of God. Will that happen to the United States of America? Israel became divided under the kingship of Solomon. And yet, because the Lord has a specific agenda for Israel, Paul speaks about in Romans chapter 11 that one day all Israel will be saved. And we know his agenda for the church. So, I got a lot of scriptures I could go through, but I'll spare you. So, the one thing I want to say here in the beginning, Solomon had faith. The grace of God blessed Solomon beyond compare. Solomon, from what I understand in Scripture, though it's not actually stated, he repented. Three books of Solomon in Scripture. And the Lord forgave him for his repentance. And through that, he grew. There was a growth that took place in Solomon's life. And it's the same thing with us. Faith, grace, growth. When we fall, repent, and we're forgiven. Praise God. So, the bottom line after all this, stand firm in the Lord. But at the same time, don't really fret. We can't be super Christians outside of Jesus Christ. Bob speaks about that all the time. We'd be liars to say we would. Gosh, Karen might be in her Helga mode at 2 o'clock this afternoon. I don't know what we're riding around. I don't know. But continue on, pray, and seek the Lord and grow. I'm going to get, if it's the last scripture, I'm going to go to 1 Peter, and then I'll end. Let me find out where I want to go here. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, 17 through 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the ear of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I have to give you this scripture. This is the very last one in Ecclesiastes. And this is what Solomon himself ends with, and you all know this scripture. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you glory and we give you praise. Lord, all of us that are here, we thank you that we were born in this country. It is a great country, Lord. Our blessings abound beyond anything that any of us, if we truly had any sense, could ever imagine, Lord. Even the poverty-stricken in this country are rich compared to so many others out there in the world. Lord, we as Christians, we pray, Lord, that you continue to convict us by the power of your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for the abundance that each one of us has, Lord. And those that don't, Lord, we pray that you bless us, Lord, financially, Lord. Give us jobs and things that you said you know that we need. We pray that you give us the strength to hold fast to your word, to your church, to your precepts, Lord, and to your principles. Lord, those that haven't come to you in this country, Lord, we pray that somehow, some way, we could be used effectively, Lord, just by our lifestyles, Lord, that we would be salt and light that Jeff talks about, Lord. We pray for your coming, Lord. We look for your coming, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.